The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
When you look back over the last few decades and people talk about what has driven down death rates from heart disease, there's this assumption it's been the mass prescription of statins. Millions of people are taking statins. But the evidence suggests there's a separate analysis done. They looked in European countries, high-risk and low-risk people with heart disease over 12 years. Was there a reduction in heart disease death rates because of statins? And the answer was no.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
All right, let's talk about statins for a moment in your health. Dr. Sean O'Mara is going to be stopping by. And we've talked about gut biome with him in health. And this is such a big issue. One of the most prescribed types of drugs in the world, right after birth control, is known as statins. And maybe you're on them. Right? Doctors hand these out pretty regularly to help lower cholesterol levels. And, maybe you're dealing with high cholesterol. Maybe it runs in the family. Right? I got a brother-in-law who is so diametrically opposed with statins. He's got really high cholesterol, too. I'm like, dude, you should talk to a doctor. I mean, well, you know, and he went through this and he introduced me to a line of thought. And I thought, well, maybe we can talk about this today. And again, I am not a physician. Dr. Sean O'Mara is, and he'll answer all your questions regarding this. But if you're dealing with cholesterol, let's talk about it. Do we need to reevaluate the way we look at it? Do we need the superabundance of statins that are out there right now? Doctors hand them out, as I said, pretty frequently, because the belief is that it's going to lower your cholesterol. That will then help prevent heart disease, especially arterial sclerosis or the clogging of your arteries. So this will help prevent that. That's why a lot of people are on it. You'd rather take this than go ahead and not to have heart surgery. But there's drugs, maybe you're on them, like Lipitor, Livalo, Lescol, Altaprev, Crestor, Zocar. I mean, they sell all over the world to the tune of more than $3 trillion a year, $3 trillion major dollars for the pharmaceutical company. And the Mayo Clinic says that the side effects of these drugs could be muscle pain, could be increased blood sugar that can lead to type 2 diabetes, or even mental fuzziness. So if you started taking, these cholesterol drugs, you find yourself, your leg cramping or you're having some sort of muscle pain, other issues, there may be side effects too. And we'll talk, as I said, to Dr. O'Mara about this. But there was a study published 2 years ago in the JAMA International Medicine, and they did not find that they didn't see a big connection between lowering cholesterol and lowering the risk of heart attack or developing heart disease. What they did find, and I found this to be compelling, they found that the percentage of people who are considered as eligible for these drugs in Europe, they found from 8% in 1987 to 62% in 2016. In the U.S., statin prescriptions among adults 40 years of age and older increased 65% to 135 million. In 2003 to 221 million, 221 million in 2013. We're a population, what, of 347 million people, something in that ballpark? So what's happened in the last 10 years? Why are so many people on these cholesterol drugs? Is it driven by pharmaceuticals? Is there real merit to it? The question has got to be asked, do you need it? Do you need statins? Are these really lifestyle drugs? I know if you lose weight sometimes, your doc will say to you, I can take you off it. I'm willing to bet that if people, if you check people who are eating healthy foods, getting good sleep, exercising on a regular basis, a good gut biome, their cholesterol levels are going to be either normal or below normal. But people who are pumping themselves full of processed food and junk or sitting around, not exercising, you're probably going to see a stark difference. But let me invite into the conversation Dr. Sean O'Mara. He is an executive health physician in private practice in Minneapolis, and he's been joining us once a month here just to take a look at health. And today I thought we'd look at cholesterol. If you have it, good day to call in. And, of course, statins. I know many Americans are now on it. Dr. O'Mara, good afternoon.
Thanks, Maggie.
I'm sorry, you were talking to Maggie still. Doctor, you're on the air now. Good afternoon.
Yeah, hey, Drew.
My producer was queuing you up, and your mic was on. How you doing?
I'm doing so good. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm hanging in there. Yeah, I couldn't wait to talk to you about this because I had a conversation not too long ago with a brother-in-law who's got high cholesterol. And, you know, he won't take cholesterol medicine. And I have a friend who is moderate, borderline, whatever it is, and he's on a statin. And you know, he says, you got to check this out. And I actually, Joe Rogan just had a, he just did an interview with some guy who was advocating that the tests, the way we look at whether or not these are really effective or not, he made his case against, I guess, statins, not in general, but in, you know, whether or not they're overprescribed. And there's a lot of people who have this mindset. Break it down for us. What are they supposed to do? And give me your take on cholesterol and whether or not you think too many Americans are on this drug.
Yes. So, first of all, it's the number one topic of conversation that, doctors have with patients as far as what they should be following to track their health. It's more popular in terms of a discussion point than weight, and I'm not sure that weight is really all that important because you could be kind of heavy with a lot of muscle, and so the problem with cholesterol is it's not one size fits all. And so the rub is the fact that these numbers apply differently to every individual. And so we're trying to apply a set of numbers that really is not an appropriate thing to fit in the lives of an individual. And so there are many other things that you should be following, in my opinion, other than cholesterol, but it is a proponent of our conventional healthcare system. It's being taught in medical school. And as you pointed out in the beginning, it is an enormous economic driver. It's part of our conventional healthcare system. It is the most profitable classification of drugs ever discovered. So it's a huge moneymaker. And that's part of the problem. There's no incentive to perturb the apple cart because of that. And so what your number is going to be different than others. And a big talking point that nobody's, I think, should be talking about, but nobody's talking about is the fact that every cell in the human body makes cholesterol. And let's just ask the question, should we be prescribing medications that's interfering with what our cells are doing? You know, if every cell is making it and it's an important part of our tissue, every cell membrane is made of cholesterol, doesn't it strike the average person, and shouldn't it also include physicians as well, that maybe we shouldn't be just blindly tracking cholesterol and giving medications to patients to follow, to take, if it's going to interfere with this this important part of our cell structure? And so what I like to do with my patients that come and work with me is talk to them about cholesterol, because it tends to be something that dominates their conversations with their physicians, both currently and in the past. And say, I'm of the opinion that there are many other things that you should be following besides cholesterol. And with all these side effects that we're having with the cholesterol, I think it's important discussion. I love the fact that you got it on your show today for people to be aware of. And I encourage them to have conversations with their doctors about potential side effects and what else should be followed. I recently had a patient sent to me from a Cleveland Clinic, because he said, is that all we're going to do is just follow cholesterol? And finally Cleveland Clinic said, well, you should actually be following visceral fat, and sent that patient to our practice. So visceral fat, in my opinion, is far more important to be following as a metric than cholesterol.
Well, we can certainly talk about that too. And I'll take a few phone calls in just a minute. I know some people are queuing up at 888-914-9149. You were talking about side effects. Some critics are arguing, you know, that, you know, this depletes your CoQ10. I believe, you know, that these statins can damage your liver. You know, if we talked about type 2 diabetes, we talked about muscle pain. There are some risks and some side effects with this. Do you have concerns about any of those?
I do. And you're correct. Mayo has good resources, as do many healthcare sites, about the side effects of statin. And if you're on one, I would encourage you to jump on Google or ChatGPT AI and just put the medication that you're on, comma, side effects, and look into them. And because I don't think physicians do a good enough job, and providers now, we have nurse practitioners and PAs prescribing these medications, yeah, without paying attention to these side effects. In many cases, they're enduring and can go on for years, and then patients find out that it's related to their stat and they stop it. So I think that's an important education.
Yeah, let me share an email that came in to me last night. I guess a woman heard the promo on the air. And Mary, if you're listening, thanks for emailing me. She said this: "Hey, Drew, in regards to cholesterol medication, I was on them. I had so much pain in my knees. I begged for a knee replacement surgery. The surgeon said no. You know, he says, I went for a sleep study, and they said my legs were moving all night. I looked for the side effects. The prescription that I was on, I went and I stopped taking the statin. And she says, I'm totally free now. She says, here's one more line. It's a little disjointed here. She says, I also did a pharmacogenomic test. Am I saying that right, doctor?
Genomic.
pharmacogenomic test. Check your liver to see what the side effects of the liver process were. I have a list of medications. I cannot have cholesterol, drugs, high blood pressure, et cetera. She says, I'm watching what I eat now, taking CoQ10, and she feels totally fine. So, you know, I think it's different for everybody, though, isn't it, doctor? I mean, I don't want to encourage anyone to stop taking this. They should certainly talk to their physician if they did that. But this woman's knee pain, she was in so much agony, she wanted to have a knee replacement surgery, right? Now she's fine. So, I don't know. A lot of controversy over it. You know, and I know the big concern is, you know, do you want to risk getting atherosclerosis? And that was what a lot of physicians say you're going to get if you have got too much cholesterol. And I guess it goes back to the LDL and the HDLs, right, of your cholesterol and what we understand about them. So,
yeah. So it really is important to discuss, first learn about side effects of these statins. And then through your own individual research, and then discuss it with your provider, whoever is prescribing that, because just like in Mary's case, it can be the case of many listeners today. They have these strange side effects, and they don't realize that whatever symptom they're having is attributable to this medication, and it's correctable. Sometimes they change a different statin and can do that. Other times they just have to go off them altogether. Yes. So. Yeah, cholesterol is a funny thing. There are studies that show that the average person that has their first heart attack has normal levels of cholesterol. And then other cases where mortality, meaning the amount of death, is actually lower when you have higher cholesterol. And you actually have higher rates of death when your cholesterol is lower.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's not as simple, clear of a number that a lot of people might imagine, including physicians. I think physicians are poorly aware of the specifics of it. They know how to prescribe it, but the totality of applying that particular metric, cholesterol, and there's so many different particular subtypes of lipids, we call them fats, that it can be very confusing, even to doctors who have been prescribing this for years.
So, all right, let's take a few phone calls for you as well. Speaking of heart attacks, people, I saw an article this morning. It was in one of my news feeds. Salt is one of the number one factors in most people who have heart attacks. They have high salt intake, according to this report. Sherry's in Salt Lake City, Utah. Thank you for calling, Sherry. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
All right, go right ahead. You're on the air with Dr. O'Mara.
Thank you. Dr. O'Mara, I just actually left my doctor's appointment 3 months ago. They did a panel and they said your lipids are high and that you're diabetic and you should go on a A1C drug. And today they are running another panel and she's like, we really want you to go on that, but you're going to have to take a statin as well because we find that patients that have a high A1C also need a high cholesterol drug as well. And I'm very leery about taking drugs that are synthetic. Maybe that's just a phobia of mine, but I want your opinion on whether I should go on a drug like that.
Yeah, so I encourage everybody to have a good, thorough conversation with their provider. Sherry, you should go back and you can discuss why they think you need to be on that statin. And I would ask them, Sherry, and everybody listening, is to inquire whether there are alternatives to going on this statin. So you can change your lifestyle. My opinion, many studies support this as well. Changing your lifestyle can have a far greater impact on both your health span and your lifespan and your quality of living, more so than just taking a particular prescription drug. So it's an area that is not discussed and considered by most doctors. But it can be, Sherry, and for others listening, if you raise those concerns with your doctor and ask them, and you'll be helping to get them to consider and look into lifestyle, because it's not taught well in medical school. In most cases, physicians have to get knowledge about lifestyle strategies and recommendations through independent learning, reading on their own, through studies that aren't shared in medical school. So you can help your doctor to become more educated and get interested in this topic, but say, hey, is there something else I can do in my life that will help me be healthier other than just taking this medicine? And in most cases, absolutely is. So go back, have that conversation, Sherry, and I think you'll end up with a better result than just awesome. Immediately starting taking a medication.
If you're just joining me, we're talking cholesterol today. If you have high cholesterol, you might be on a statin. We're looking at statins. Some people are reevaluating whether or not we should be taking statins, with in the numbers that we are, and we're just trying to objectively look at these issues and trying to have a good conversation about getting you into better health with Dr. Sean O'Mara. Diane is in Baraboo, Wisconsin. Diane, you're on the air now. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. My brother, he's in his mid-50s now. He has dealt with high cholesterol for years, I think since he was a young man. He's been on statin for years. He came down a few years ago with ALS. We have now a history of that in the family as far as we can tell. He's always been living a good lifestyle. I mean, he's not overweight. He eats well. I just kind of wondered about the connection between statin and ALS.
Interesting.
Well, fortunately, I am not aware of any studies that show any connection to use of statins and ALS, but I'm not aware of any studies that have looked into them either. So I think that we're going to find in time as we start looking at connections between the use of statins and side effects and conditions that might be something that gets established. But for the time being, I think there's just a paucity of good studies and good data looking at that. So probably ALS, I would speculate, is not likely to have been caused by statin, but it is something that we might find out through large data analysis once we start looking specifically at diseases and the relationship to statin use.
Yeah, we'll take a few more calls here too, Doctor, and I do want to talk about alternatives to the pharmaceuticals. You heard the caller call up and be concerned about that. I know you are an advocate of lifestyle modifications, dietary supplements, gut biome, right? Herbal remedies. Maybe there's new medications that are out there, natural foods. We can get into all that. Jonathan's in Scottsdale, Arizona, and he's been given some instructions on how to lower his cholesterol. Jonathan, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone at Relevant Radio. I just wanted to chime in with some statements and then hopefully follow up with a question that I can get answered. I was on a blood pressure medication for years. I'd say three, maybe 4 years, and my cholesterol levels were very high. I think I was over 250, maybe around 300. Blood pressure averaging around 160 to 180, and I was just talking to my primary care doctor about how I can change it because my blood pressure medication they were giving me was making me very tired and I couldn't stay awake. So he offered what most people would, which is a change of diet and exercise. And I took him up on it because I've heard it so many times. And I started gradual, just 30 minutes of exercise. And I cut away any sugary drinks or food and most carbohydrates. I didn't eat any bread or pasta for the most part. And within two weeks to a month, my blood pressure dropped dramatically. I mean, to the point where I didn't have pressure in my eyes. I felt I had arthritis. It was so bad. And my doctor said, you know, I told him how I was dieting, how a majority of my food was vegetables. And I would splurge by dressing it up with some different salad dressings or something like that. That'd be my indulgence on it. And he told me it was the right start. And I lost a lot of weight. And basically, that's the most I can say for lifestyle change and diet. It dramatically helped. I didn't need high blood pressure medication at all. Wow. My cholesterol is at 150 to maybe 160 now. Mm-hmm. And that's where I'm at. That's how it helped me. Wow. So I hope that helps somebody else.
Hey, Jonathan, thank you. Do you have a question for the doctor, too? I know that was your statement.
I do, because now I've kind of changed directions from losing weight to gaining muscle, and I'm hoping you can give me some advice on how to intake a good amount of protein for rigorous workouts. I work out now for 2 to maybe 3 hours, and I'm trying to build muscle. I'm hoping to do that without eating so much, like, chicken protein, basically.
Right, gotcha. All right. Hey, Jonathan, thank you. Yeah. Let me let the doctor respond.
Yeah, well, first of all, I love what Jonathan shared. It's just a great story, isn't it? It's very encouraging. And it's the kind of thing that I like to hear, you know, people, patients taking more concern how they live rather than trying to go to a bottle of pills to deal with disease. So I think Jonathan's account, how he shared it, is just very, very encouraging. And then as far as the specifics go, you know, he's cut out carbohydrates, and a lot of people have found out about carbohydrates because we went through this craze where fat was being demonized and carbohydrates were being encouraged. And now we're recognizing that fats are natural fats are really an important essential part of our diet. So what I'd recommend for people, I don't think I'm confident you do not have to exercise nearly as much as Jonathan is undertaking, 2 to 3 hours a day.
Wow.
You can just do some maximum intensity exercise for as little as, you know, just 5 minutes, and you'll have significant improvement. And as far as increasing your protein intake, and Jonathan's concern, I think, is founded. As we age, our ability to absorb protein and to use it to build muscle becomes compromised. So one of the things I work on is improving the bioavailability and absorption of protein through our guts by eating probiotic fermented foods like rich, like sauerkrauts and kimchi and aged cheeses, organic probiotic fermented apple cider vinegar that hasn't been pasteurized, things along those lines. Traditional fermented foods help people to absorb protein better, to be able to produce more muscle mass, because as we age, we get we develop atrophy, loss of muscle tissue. That's why the average 90-year-old looks very frail, because they've lost a lot of that muscle tissue. But if we can do a better job with absorbing protein, we can help maintain that vital tissue. So Jonathan's quest there is a noble one. Eat as healthy food as you could possibly get, good sources of fat and protein, and then fermented, rich, traditional foods that have been around for thousands of years instead of processed foods like chips and candies and milkshakes and all sorts of newfangled kind of chemicals and things. You should just be eating more traditional food, and that will go a long way to help maintain that muscle mass and maybe cut back a little bit, Jonathan, on all that exercise.
Jonathan, thanks for the call. Congratulations, too. Doctor, hold the thought. I have to take a short pause. I'm at the bottom of the hour here. I'll be back on the other side. If you're on hold, I'll do my best to get you on. If you're just joining me, we're talking cholesterol today. How high is your cholesterol? Should you be worried about it? Some say, not really. Cholesterol's kind of important. If you're on a statin, don't go away either. We're continuing to explore statins with you and Dr. Sean O'Mara. Stay with me.
The Drew Mariani Show. Connected. Connected. Relevant Radio.
Hey, if you haven't heard, the next Relevant Radio pilgrimage is being led by Father Rocky. He's going to Poland and Prague this September, and tickets for the trip are almost sold out. You can reserve your spot today at relevantradio.com/Poland. That's relevantradio.com/Poland.
Over a five-year period, if you take your statin religiously and don't get side effects, right? Because remember, the trials took out people with side effects. So best case scenario, your benefit of a statin is 1 in 83 for saving your life and 1 in 39 in preventing a further heart attack. Now, a lot of people find that quite underwhelming.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, I had the opportunity to listen to a podcast. It was Dr. Asim. He was on Joe Rogan, and they were discussing statins. You know, they are heavily prescribed. Question is, I mean, do you need to be on a statin? Again, we're having a conversation with a very gifted physician. Dr. Sean O'Mara is my guest today. And you should consult your physician before you change anything that you're doing. But, you know, the argument here is that in the realm of cardiovascular health, this pharmaceutical, which has skyrocketed in recent years, it's a cornerstone of prevention of heart disease because they lower cholesterol. And this is one of the most widely prescribed drugs in the world next to, right after, I guess, the abortion pill, or not the abortion pill, the contraceptives. And the purpose is, hey, you need to reduce strokes and heart attacks and other heart-related type of complications. And yet, as the medical community continues to evolve, there is this growing dialogue, these questions that are rising now regarding these traditional views on cholesterol and this ubiquitous use of statins. And this debate also extends to how we perceive cholesterol itself. I mean, traditionally, it was a villain, right? There are some changing attitudes toward it as well. And my guest is Dr. Sean O'Mara. Doctor, it's good to have you back with us today. It's amazing how many people are on statins and how many people are dealing with this issue. And I always just want to get to the truth, and I'm grateful for you being here. Let's go right back to the phones. We will grab a call or two. Janet is in Orange County, California. Janet, you're on the air with Dr. O'Mara. Welcome.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I have a slightly elevated cholesterol level. I also have good cholesterol. I have my adult onset muscular dystrophy, and I'm 5'8", and I weigh 175. I'm small boned. If I told people how much I weighed, they would not believe it. It's very hard to lose weight. I've increased exercise on a glider, but I recently heard Dr. on Epic Times or Epoch Times, they have a wellness section that if you do berberine, bergamot, and nadokinase, that also, those supplements also help lower cholesterol. And then I just have one other question for you, or one question for you. I recently had a vasovagal syncope and passed out due to a stressful circumstance.
Right.
And was taken to the ER, and they wanted, they did a blood test and a...
Janet, I'm going to hold you for a second, just because you got a lot going on here. And I want the doctor to respond to the very first question, if you could. And there's a lot of people, too, who want to get in. So let me allow him to respond to your berberine question.
Yeah, so berberine and nadokinase, and I didn't quite hear the second supplement.
Bergamot, B-E-R-G. AMOT.
Okay. Yeah. So those, yeah. So those are useful supplements that a lot of people drive benefit from. And I think supplements have value because they're more natural form oftentimes of the biological target that pharmaceutical drugs go after and then create in a more synthetic form. So very often you can get similar and sometimes even better pharmacologic and better health optimizing targets using supplements with a safer profile. So I think they do add value, and you could consider in many cases, if you just list a supplement alternative to a particular medication, you could consider using a supplement instead of the medications that somebody is telling you to use. But they still should be discussed with your doctor in connection with their issues and what they're trying to treat you with. So I don't recommend stopping any medicine, as we always say, without having a conversation with your doctor. And then vasovagal syncope is something that happens to quite a few people. And any conversation you have with an ER doctor should be followed up with a conversation with your primary care doctor to explore what was going on there and any potential contributions. In many cases, it's stress and a kind of emotional abuse. I've had patients pass out on me when I show them all things visceral fat inside of them. I had one guy pass out.
Oh my gosh!
So yeah, it's a common condition. Have a conversation with your doctor.
All right. Hey, thank you very much, Janet. Heidi has been waiting in St. Paul, Minnesota. Let me sneak her on. Heidi, good afternoon.
Hello. Thank you so much for taking my call. So my husband has familial cholesterol, and unfortunately, he passed it on to our children. Mm. And he has not ever wanted to go on a statin, and I really applaud him for that. But I just know that the familial high cholesterol tends to be more of an issue to deal with. So, and I guess I'm concerned more because he had a cardiac CT scan that showed, you know, most likely mm-hmm. that he does have some
arterial sclerosis,
sclerotic. Yeah. Well, atherosclerotic plaque burden. Yes, atherosclerosis. Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. So, any suggestions, then, doctor?
Great call. It's because she's the voice. She represents a lot of probably people out there that have this in their family line. And look, medication, doctor, is not a bad thing, as you know. I mean, if it can help somebody in that situation, then that's a practical application for it. But give me your take on that situation.
Yeah. So it's a fairly common condition, hypercholesterolemia. And familial just simply means it has a genetic contribution. And we see these running in family lines. And what I like to encourage is, you know, if somebody has that and their children have it too, that's a great time to everybody get healthy in the family and adopt a healthier lifestyle. So it starts with a healthier diet, cutting out processed foods, getting regular exercise, walking, getting outdoors, sunshine. Take a look at the use of a sauna. Sauna has been shown in large studies, 2,000 people, to reduce the incidence of mortality from atherosclerotic cardiovascular disease 50%, over 50%, if you do it 4 to 7 times a week. So there's a nice, simple suggestion that I'd recommend for her husband and her children to consider eating healthier, using a sauna, and getting outdoors and then exercising. All those things can have tremendous impact on reducing mortality and the incidence of heart attacks and strokes.
Just in terms of medication, should he get on a statin until he gets his sauna and begins to do these other things? I mean, to stop the progressiveness
of this? Well, I oftentimes have people, they're usually on that medication.
Yeah.
I usually have them stay on that medication while they're starting to implement lifestyle strategies.
Yeah.
And, of course, never stop a medication without informing, having a discussion with your primary care doctor. So not a bad strategy to start one thing and slowly go off another.
Yeah. All right. Hey, Heidi, thank you for your call. I appreciate that. Jerry's in Wittenberg, Wisconsin. Hi, Jerry.
Hello. Thank you for addressing such a, you know, much needed thing like this. I have really great cholesterol. My good cholesterol is better than normal, and the others are well within normal.
Right.
But my calcium scoring test does show some calcium in my arteries, like mild to moderate.
Right.
But the heart doctor did, I didn't do it, but the heart doctor did want me to go on a statin. I didn't. Both my parents had, our whole family had good cholesterol like this.
Yeah.
And both my parents also did have heart attacks and strokes. Their heart doctors also told them the same thing as mine told me, and they did go on the statins.
Right.
And the only thing that it did for them was to lower their good cholesterol. It did nothing for the bad, and, you know, they did have heart attacks and strokes. What do you think I should do?
Yeah, well, everybody's a little bit different. So some people's bad cholesterol will have a greater effect from statin, and others will have less. So it really depends on your particular situation and having that conversation with your physician. And it's less about your numbers at one particular time. It's more about what happens to you over an extended period of time. Yeah. So lifestyle becomes important to track that as well. And I would go back and have a conversation with your provider, talking about medications, your blood work, mm-hmm. and lifestyle alternatives to help you with that decision.
The doctor, she said she had a heart calcification test done and showed some calcium buildup in, I guess, the arteries there. Is there something somebody who has that can do? I mean, because her cholesterol sounds good, doesn't want to be on the statin. How do you reduce the calcium buildup? Because that's the big concern here. That's why people are put on this in some respects, to prevent blockage. And is there something to do in terms of reducing your calcium buildup?
Yeah. So these calcium tests, interesting, for a long time, what we saw was the calcifications protected the individual from having a bad outcome, having a heart attack. But and so they may not be as bad as we think, but recently a new study came out showing that even the ones that are calcified are problematic. So the jury's still out about the actual interpretation of these calcification studies. I think what for sure they are doing is getting people to have these discussions and start looking at things other than just lipids. And I always tell that other people to tell people to think about visceral fat around their heart, fat in their muscle. All these are available in scans, MRIs that you can take a look at. And I find them personally a lot more important to follow than certainly cholesterol. And they're better than calcification CT scans, looking either coronary artery calcifications or other CT scans that will be offered by doctors to at least they're being pursued, and they're leading to discussions about atherosclerotic cardiovascular disease. But we'll learn more with time as more studies are done.
Well, some good calls on there too. I see one out of Plymouth, Minnesota, who's asking about stuff like Metamucil. I heard some doctors prescribe people with high cholesterol, drink Metamucil, take some of it. Are there foods you can eat, oatmeal, et cetera, that can maybe eradicate some of your cholesterol levels? We'll look at that. We'll take a few more calls from around the country. My guest today, Dr. Sean O'Mara, we're looking at cholesterol and the use of statins. Our conversation continues. Stay with me.
Connecting you to the truths of your Catholic faith. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Sponsor of the University of Dallas, the Catholic University for Independent Thinkers. invites high school juniors, seniors, and recent graduates to study the great books this summer at UD's two-week-long Arete program while earning 3 hours of college credit. Info at relevantradio.com/UDallas.
Statins do have a small benefit, but one of the properties of statins, which isn't talked about, is they have anti-inflammatory and anti-clotting benefits. So even though they lower LDL cholesterol, the real benefit in preventing heart attacks and strokes is through that mechanism. But when you break it down, as I said before, your risk is, you know, the benefits are about 1% if you're low risk of heart disease.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
You know, the one thing we did not talk about today that we always talk about with Dr. Sean O'Mara is the gut biome. And the gut biome, if you're not familiar with it, it's trillions of microorganisms that reside in your digestive tract, and they play such a critical role in various aspects of your health, including your metabolism, your immune function, even regulation of your cholesterol levels. And there's new research right now into this gut-heart axis. And what they're finding is that, you know, the gut bacteria can significantly influence cholesterol metabolism and overall heart health. It's pretty amazing. Every time I turn around, you know, your gut biome is coming to the rescue. Doctor, before we jump to the phones, I wanted to hit on that because I came across a story when I was preparing for today's broadcast that dealt with that aspect of it. How critical is the gut biome in lowering cholesterol? If you have a healthy one, will it help to process or metabolize that? And maybe you can follow up also with some of the other things that might be beneficial.
Yeah, so I was just on a show right before this one where we were talking about the microbiome and its contribution to metabolism, which starts really in what we eat inside our gut. And so it's in my opinion, the single most important thing that humans should be doing is to improve the type of microbes, the diversity of microbes that we have inside of our gut. And it's a big black box. We need to learn a lot more about them, what they are. But what improves them is lifestyle, how you exercise, how you sleep, the consumption of alcohol, tobacco, things that improve your health, improve the microbes inside of you. Things that hurt your health contribute to bad microbes inside of you. And they're best thought of as your report card. So the better ones that you have, the healthier you're going to be. And it absolutely affects your cholesterol and so many other laboratory values that we look at as physicians.
All right. Let's do this. We'll jump into calls. We have about 10 minutes or so left. Let's try to grab as many calls as we can. Aurora, Illinois is up first. Jerry, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'm a first-time caller, Drew.
All right. Good to have you, Jerry.
I hope my comments will help the lady that was concerned about going on statins. Mm-hmm. When they told me that I needed an anti-cholesterol, they put me on Lipitor. And after 1 month, I got gout. Ooh. So they tried another statin, and the next month, I had gout. Mm. So when I talked to my primary doctor, he said, oh, that couldn't cause gout. And I had talked to the pharmacist, and it was right on the information from the pharmacy that it could cause gout. So they took me to an alternative, mm-hmm. which I'm still on, called Welchol, mm-hmm. Welchol. And that's a non-statin.
All right.
So this lady could discuss that with her doctor.
Jerry, thank you. I'm glad to have you here. I'm delighted that you called in. And, doctor, if you want to respond, you can otherwise.
Yeah, that was a helpful experience. And not everybody's going to have the same experience as Jerry. As I said at the beginning of the show, cholesterol works differently in different people. Yeah. And so, but that is a non-statin alternative,
yeah.
and you can discuss alternatives, lifestyle, and supplements with mm-hmm. your doctor to see, particularly if you get side effects. And as Jerry pointed out, as I said before, doctors aren't really knowledgeable about all the side effects. So you have to find out about yourself and have that conversation with them.
Jerry, thank you for calling. Hope to hear from you again. Deb's in Plymouth, Minnesota. Deb, good afternoon.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm curious about oral intake of psyllium husks. Mm-hmm. And then you hear all this stuff this day and age about this mushroom coffee with all these adaptive mushrooms that are supposed to be so, take care of all your health troubles.
Right.
And also, doctor, I have a friend who had a concierge doctor at the Cooper Clinic in Texas. They did an advanced heart study called the NMR lipoprofiler IR graph. Is it worth the money, because you have to pay that out of your pocket, to get those extra tests requested by your doctor?
So let me start with that last question first. The real fidelity and the question you need to ask is, what difference does the test make? And so you really want to look at that in a large number of people and see, how do people improve their health when they do a particular test? The fact that a test is available doesn't mean that you should do it. And when I hear something very expensive, I always get a little concerned. I think that you should have a conversation with your own primary care doctor about these specialized tests and that sound expensive, to see what difference it really makes. I think there are probably other things that you could follow. I will say that I don't know about that particular test, so you should learn a little bit more about it. And it's really lifestyle. I think that's where I tell people, spend their money on improving your health and by living better, and you may not need all these expensive tests.
Doctor, what about her point? And I think this is an important one. She was talking about psyllium, I guess, husks. What about Metamucil? What about those? What about oatmeal? What about, you know, those type of dietary things to help lower one's cholesterol? Are they effective?
Yeah. So I intended to answer that question as well. So again, when it comes to certain foods, everybody is going to respond a little different. So some people derive benefit from the addition of fiber. Other people don't. As it turns out, we used to think that fiber like Metamucil was really good for heart health and constipation. But it turns out that in some studies, it has the opposite effect. So what's going on? The microbiome. So again, it depends on the particular microbes, what's your gut health, whether you're going to respond positively or potentially negatively to addition of a particular food. So especially the case with grains. So grains are a lot more problematic than something that, healthy meat or fermented foods, things that have been more traditional. As grains have only been in our diet for about 20,000 years in terms of their influence on the human Homo sapiens species. Yeah. And so they're relatively newcomers into our diet. So you really have to go by on a case-by-case basis to see if it's going to be beneficial. So I'm a little hesitant to recommend, especially grains, universally as something that you should or shouldn't do. Mm-hmm. I think it really depends on your particular case, and your microbiome is what's going to set that.
Let me just throw a quick programming note out here. If you're just tuning in, we're talking about statins and cholesterol. And if you missed any of this, Maggie will have this conversation up in an hour or maybe less. And you can download it at Relevant Radio, wherever you get your podcast. If you know someone who's struggling with high cholesterol, have them listen to this, okay? And if you missed it, I do strongly encourage you to listen to it and maybe share it with somebody else. Darice is in Eagle Rock, California. Hi, Darice.
Yes, hi. Thank you for this topic. Okay, my question for the doctor is, my husband, he's 70 years old, and about 20 years ago, he was prescribed Lipitor 80 milligrams. Mm-hmm. And in those 20 years, 10 years after being prescribed it, we completely changed his diet. You know, he stopped drinking alcohol. He eats really healthy. And so I spoke to his cardiologist recently about wanting to, like, maybe find out, gauge where he actually is. you know, the his numbers. You know, the medication counts.
Dorisa, I hate to do this, so your signal's almost inaudible, but doctor, I hope you made most of that out. I guess she's, the question is, should they take him off of this? He's taking Lipitor right now for 20 years.
It sounds like he's gotten some benefit from changing his lifestyle. And again, to reiterate those points, that's what you really want to be doing. Don't, you know, medications are a shortcut. Go in and have that conversation specifically with your doctor about lifestyle to see what other alternatives there are to these medications and these tests. That would be my final note. And the last point I make is, remember, our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 to 20. Optimize the body God gave you, and you'll live better lives. You'll be able to serve him better. And it's a point I try to make with all of my patients. It's a wonderful gift that we have in our bodies, and let's get them as temples of the Holy Spirit healthier.
Doctor, as always, thank you. I look forward to our next conversation. We'll have to revisit this. A lot of people wanted to talk with you. Again, check it out online. You can download this where podcasts are found, or at relevantradio.com. It's a great conversation. Sean, stay on the line. I want to talk to you during the break. News and headlines are straight ahead. I'm out of time for the day. Until we talk again, I promise you my deepest prayers. Have a great day.